speak next. That's embarrassing. Thank you, though, for that. I'm excited. I'm like some of you. Some of you tell me a little bit. Sometimes when the Lord teaches you something in the scriptures, you talk a little bit and tell me what God's doing in your life. And I get excited about the Lord. I guess I picture it as it's always a fight. Satan is always fighting the people of God. Satan's always attacking, the unsaved. And when you go through battle after battle after battle with your brothers and sisters in Christ, some of you, we've went up the battle with you through prayer. Some of you have came and helped us. And in our life, we've had many battles. And after you go through battle after battle after battle, you realize, man, you see victory and victory and victory through Jesus. And after a while, you kind of stand back and just say, God, he's just an amazing God. Every time you come through and every time you're there. And is it hurt? Is it hurt inside? Oh, yeah. Oh, man. You take some hurts and some pains. But then you look to your God and he's there with you and he walks with you. And he provides you that grace that you needed to get through it. And then he brings your brother or sister in Christ into your life, and they're there, and they support you, and they love you, and they help you, and then you just look at it, you step back after whatever, a month or two or a year, and you look back, and then you watch the hand of God just orchestrate what just happened, and then you realize, that wasn't really all about me, and then you realize, wow, Lord, that was really about you the entire time that we just went through that together, and that just gets me excited, how God does things, even when I don't even feel good that day, or even when I think it shouldn't go that way, God just comes through. And I get excited about that. I do. I get excited about Jesus. I get excited about hunting. I do. I get excited about hunting. I like hunting. I get excited about Easter. Easter is probably one of the most, I get the most excited about Easter. I like to eat Easter eggs. This year I'm going to eat the Easter bunny. Thanks to one of the members in the church. I'm going to have some different things. I love Easter because Easter is all about victory. And I love Easter. You get the victory of Jesus Christ. The death, sad. The burial, sad. The resurrection, victory. I love it. I love the victory. I like to celebrate victories. I'm very much for celebrating each and every victory that Jesus Christ gives us. I'm going to be in the book of Galatians, and in Galatians chapter 5, I'll read it. If you want to sit there and listen, that's fine. If you want to go there, Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13 is where I'm going to start. Galatians 5 and 13. And God has been so good. And I'm so glad that you're all here today. I know we all miss preacher. I miss pastor. He called me today. I asked him if the storms hit them. And he said, yeah, he told me, Ryan, the storms came. And then by the time we got the news on and the weather on, he says the bad part was past us. And then they're like, oh, go hide in the basement. And I was like, wow, that came late, didn't it? He's like, yeah. So the storms came, went, and then the weather said, hey, there's going to be bad weather where they're at. But they're safe. They said they're safe. And praise the Lord for that. So we're in Galatians chapter 5. And then I'm going to start in verse 13. For brethren, it says, we have been called unto liberty only. Use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but to love, serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. And this, if you just want to mark this down, thou shalt love the Lord. It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And verse 15 says, but if ye bite and devour one another, take heed that ye be not consumed one of another. Verse 16, this I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lusts of the flesh. And let's say a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, it is good to have your word, your unchangeable word. Father, it can be taught and preached. It can be believed. It can be held. It can be promised. It can be collected. Father, we can even claim it. And today, Father, we pray that your word would reign supreme. We pray that you'd be lifted up, that you would be exalted. And because you are extremely worthy of it. And Father, we want to just as a people come together, gather here, hear a truth. And Father, we just want to see you. We just want to feel you. We just want you to be with us today. I pray that you take your truth to grow one of us Christians today. Take your truth to see an unsaved person today accept you. And Father, we love you. We thank you. Be with our preacher. Bring him home safe. In your name, amen. You know, have you ever heard of people where they want to go out and they just want to go out, and maybe they want to go out to a beach and find a little shack and they just want to live out there all by themselves. They don't want anyone to bother them. They just want to become, I think it's called a hermit, is that right? A hermit crab. You just want to be a hermit out on a beach, and no one to bother you. Live out there, maybe just take up surfing or something like that. I knew a gentleman. He always said, I just want to go out there and do that. I just want to be a hermit out on the beach. Leave me alone. I don't like people. And I was like, what an interesting fella he was. And then every once in a while, after working with a bunch of junior hires all day long, I said, man, I'd love to be a hermit. And there's those people that say, no, I just want to go out to the mountains and the wilderness and all by myself and just live out there for a long time. And there's people like that. Anybody know anybody like that? Or am I the only one? Okay, I'm the only one. But there's people like that out there who are just like, I want to be alone. There was a TV series. It was called Alone. Anybody see that TV series where they take people, they fly them in a helicopter, they drop them off in the wilderness all by themselves just to see how long they could stay out there alone. And I thought, I like camping, I like hunting, I like the wilderness. I want to watch this. So I started watching some of these, and then it's funny because you get some pretty rough, tough people, and they're flying them out, like they drop them off, and the first day begins, and some of them, they give them a satellite phone, and some on the first day, come get me. They're afraid right away, and they go back, they go back. Some of them last a few days, and they're like, we're done. But then something happens in this show, if you watch it, a lot of times they're out there all by themselves. Nobody else is out there. They're all alone, and they're out there, and you'll see they kind of go through a process. They're okay for a little bit, and then all of a sudden, something sets into each and every one of them where they start to feel that very word, alone, and many of them call it quits. They'll call it quits for the very reason where they are just alone, and they just can't handle it anymore. They're like, I have to talk to somebody. I have to say something. I want to communicate with somebody. I'm talking to myself. I'm talking to the wilderness out here. And so they'll call in and say, hey, come get me. I'm done. I'm alone. And some of them, all they can think about while they're out there, and they quit out there because all they can think about is their family sitting at home and them not being there with their family. They're feeling so alone. Some of them quit because of fear. The fear and I'm all by myself and I have to face this fear all alone. And it was interesting how it all panned out and who makes it and who doesn't make it. And a Christian made it once and I'm like, well, that makes sense to me. You have Jesus, that's cheating. And so I was like, all alone, you're all by yourself. But it's interesting because even with that, where they can't stand to be alone, or they're thinking of their family and them being by themselves and the fear of no one else being there, you know, that kind of shows us, Jesus proves that this is true. If you look at Jesus' lives, before you were saved, you were all alone and you were afraid of what might happen to you. I remember one time we were in a resort. We witnessed to the owner of the resort. He was an elderly man, and that elderly man accepted Christ. He told us every night he would go to sleep, he would worry about when he would die. He would have that fear every night. He said, I'd go to bed and wonder, what's going to happen to me if I die? What's going to happen to me? What's going to happen? And I remember him telling us this story because he told us that story. We witnessed to him on like a Thursday, and he got saved a Thursday evening. He went to bed on Friday, woke back up, found us on that Friday, and he told us this story. He says, I've never been able to sleep through the night quite like that. He had peace, the peace of God. The peace of God gave him that feeling of, I am not alone. I have safety. There's no more fear there. Jesus proves this very principle, and I'm going to get into the principle in a minute, but before you're saved, you're alone. You're all by yourself. You're on your own path, and you're the one in charge, and the afraid of what's at the end or what's going to happen to me. Jesus he shares with us this thing where God adopts us into his family, and he gives us a relationship. You know, many people were quitting on that movie because they're thinking of their family, and there isn't there. But Jesus gives us that family, the family of God, the relationship we have in Christ Jesus. He also, we have a fellowship with God and with Christians in Christ. There's a unity in Jesus Christ. You know, we absolutely need Jesus. So the title of the message is simply this. The title of the message is, we need each other. We need each other. I was reading through this passage in Galatians, and I got to verse 13, and it says, and it starts talking about, but at the very end of verse 13, if you look at it, it says, but by love, serve one another. And then I was listening to that statement. I think, man, what a great statement. By love, serve one another. That amazing statement. But then I moved a little further down into verse 14. It says, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. And I thought, man, what an amazing statement. And then something passed my mind of, what if you took out a few words here? So let's take a few words out and just see, maybe this is your life. Maybe this is how some of you might be living. But let's take a few words out here. In Galatians, if you look at that verse, Galatians 5:13, you start where it says by. It says, by love, serve one, and you leave out that last word. By love, serve one. Who's that one going to be? Who is that one talking about? It's kind of selfish. By love, serve one. They take out one word. Let's take out a couple words here. Go to Galatians 14, and let's start with, it says, in Galatians 5:14, it says, thou shalt love thyself. There's two words that I took out, and the truth is this is a commandment. God says we are supposed to do this. But if you take this one, these little words out here, and these little words are, and I'm going to put them into a topic word, are people. These are one another. We need one another in order to fulfill the commandment of God here. Many times in our life, we get frustrated with the people around us. And frustration normally happens due to our education stopped at one point, and we needed more, so we get frustrated. Or our patience is not grown far enough, so we get frustrated, and we act out in different ways with frustration. But there's a real good truth to learn here, that Jesus Christ put others in our life because we absolutely need them. We have a need for each other. You need each other. We need each other. We need each other to fulfill the very commandment of God. You need each other. I need you. You need me. We need this church. There is a great need. If you look through the Word of God, to obey the following commandment, you have to have each other. This also teaches us a lesson that we need each other to teach us, to help us, to grow, and to be more like Christ. But examples are, if you go into the Word of God, God has an entire book, and the majority of the stories are all about people. Others. And he put them in there for a reason. He didn't do it on accident, and he didn't do it to lack of things to put in there, but he did it for the very purpose of never forget that you and I need each other. Now, when you look through the Word of God, we look at different people. One of the first people I think of is Job. And I'm like, oh man, Job. I love Job. And he was faithful during his hard times. And I get to learn and grow due to Job and him and his hard times. I get to learn and grow. He had a hard time, and we watched how he handled it. And I love Job also because it just makes me feel good that his life was a lot harder than mine was. So that makes me feel good. It's like, oh, yeah, I'm not a Job. Hallelujah. You look at it that way and you compare. But I learn from Job, and he's in the Word of God so that I can learn from it. I needed Job to learn certain lessons. And I tell you, during hard times, I've went to the book of Job, and I've read through it and gleaned from that book. And boy, I tell you, that book has so many good verses when you're going through a hard time. And I remember there was times in my life where I was just like, I'm done. This is it. Let's forget this. Let's move on to something different. And you go and you start reading about Job. And boy, I needed Job. I needed him for my spiritual life. I needed him so I could glorify God. I needed Job. But if you look through it, now a lot of people don't look at this person, but I look at this person as a hero, at Abel, Cain and Abel. I love Abel. I think he's amazing. Abel is, he surprises me so much, and Abel is just an amazing person. Cain and Abel. Now you're like, but there's not much said about Abel. There's not a whole lot said about Abel, but Abel's an amazing man. If you look in the Bible, there's not a whole lot bad said about Abel, except his parents and his brother. You know, he has a few bad attachments in certain areas, but Abel, his life pleased God until the end. Now, I know everyone in here is like, well, his life didn't go as long as it should. But his entire life pleased God. Abel's an amazing testimony. Abel. When I looked at Abel, I learned a lesson that sometimes what I think is right isn't always right. But I needed an Abel in my life to teach me that lesson. I needed an Abel. You need each other. We need these people in the scriptures to teach us. We took out Joseph, Mary's husband, and this is just interesting. It says that he was a just man. But one thing I learned about Joseph, too, is that Joseph tried to protect his wife during a hard time of uncertainty. He wasn't sure what to do. Man, you're what, Mary? You're pregnant? What? How could this happen? So what did he do? He was a husband that learned how to protect. And I don't blame him for trying to protect. What did I learn? I needed a Joseph because I needed to learn that lesson. I needed him. You need each other. There's lessons to be learned. There's ways to be grown by looking and learning from other people. I needed a Joseph, Mary's husband. I needed a John the Baptist to learn how to be a just and holy man, and also how to be a good dresser. You know, he dresses nice, and his style. If you look at some people that have sin in their life, we learn from them also. You know that statement you say you can learn from anybody, right? You can learn something from everyone. I look at King David. I look at the victory through God. I look at the failure. I look at the forgiveness that he was crying out in Psalms 51. He cried out. I've taken Psalm. If anyone takes Psalm 51, just run through it. Like, Lord, just, oh man, just dump it on me. Hallelujah, this is me. He put it down so well. He just put it down so well. And so I needed a King David. And I'm gentle in saying this. Even in his fault, Christ has taught me truth. Even in his fault, I needed a King David. And I looked through, I needed a Paul. I needed to see that murderer. I needed to see that he harassed Christians, that he tortured Christians. Now, if anybody did that today in our area and time, in a church, and they walk into a church, you know who it is, most people probably wouldn't sit by them. And I wouldn't blame you. You know, he's like, hey, there's the murderer, let's go sit by him, you know. There's the Christian harasser, torturer, let's sit by him. I get it, but we have a Paul. But you know, there was a time in my life where I looked at Paul's life and I saw the total conversion, the total change from absolute evil to absolutely blessed by God. And I needed that. I needed a Paul. I needed a Paul in my life. We need each other. And I look through, I see a Peter. He denied Jesus 3 times, but he still loved Jesus at the end. I look at Rahab the harlot, and I'm like, man, what, how, why, God, that makes no sense. I don't understand. But then you realize that she was used to help God's people. And that taught me a lesson that, man, God can use anyone. That God can use me. God can use you. I needed, that's hard to say, I needed a Rahab. We need each other. I was looking at this, and one of the wonderful stories, I don't know his name, but we call it the prodigal son. I love the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son, where you see that, you say that somebody that just went straight into sin, knowing it was wrong, and many of us know, many of us do that. We do it in smaller levels, but we are the prodigal son every day. We run knowing it's wrong, knowing it's sin, going into it full bore with everything we got, our whole life savings, and we prodigal son it, and then all of a sudden, we run from God on purpose, and then all of a sudden, God's love draws him right back home. Oh, I love that about God, where he has that forgiveness. I needed the prodigal son in my life many times. I needed it. We need each other. The prodigal son. You know, I love the prodigal son. I was learning a lesson in the prodigal son when I was reading that story about your sins and your forgiveness. And I love this about God and his forgiveness of sin. And I ask the young people when they teach this lesson, I ask them, how long does it take for God to forgive your sins when you ask him to? I said, how long does it take? Does it take a month? Does it take a week? How about a day? Is there a certain amount of guilt you have to go through before he forgives you of your sin? And they all sit there, and they all know the answer, but they don't dare say it out loud. But the answer is just that fast. The victory over your sin was already paid for on the cross. That fast. You do not have to sit in your sin at all. Your victory is already promised. I love that. The prodigal son could come back like that, and Jesus would take him back. Your sins were forgiven as quick as you repent of them. Oh, I love that about my Lord. I love that about my Savior. Now that puts me on a victory side. I can live in victory. I can walk in victory in my Christian life because if I confess my sins, he's faithful and just to forgive me my sins and cleanse me of all my unrighteousness. I claim that verse. I love it. That gets me excited about Jesus. I needed to learn about the prodigal son. Now, we also have just people around us that we need to learn about, that we deal with. And sometimes we have people just among us, like a brother Stephen Fletcher, we have to put up with. I learn a lot from him. I learn how to hold my tongue. He's not in here, but he said something about me, my singing, so I'm going to say it now while he's gone. And but brother Stephen, we have a brother Tim. He's crazy, and I learn a lot from him. And but he's hardworking. He's encouraging. He's helpful. We need each other. We need each other. We have, I'm looking for something here real quick. Excuse me for 1 second. Oh, I have a little list here of people that I needed personally. I just want to go through this fast. I need a gentleman named Patrick. Patrick was a young man that when he was a boy, he got into a whole lot of trouble, so much so that his parents had to send him away to a boy's home. And at the boy's home, he had gotten saved and gotten right with God, and he graduated from the boy's home, came out, and he started preaching the gospel. And then one of the times he came to our church, preached the gospel, I heard it, made assurance of my salvation as a teenager, and it changed my life completely. I absolutely love Patrick Bishop. I love him for what he did in my life, showing me. He sat down on the ground, on the floor with me, and we went through and made my salvation sure that day. I will not forget that day. I love Patrick Bishop. Thing about it is, he had a horrible upbringing. He got right with God. Not too long after, he ended up back in prison. I needed a Patrick Bishop for this short of time. That's what I needed. I needed him. We need each other. A Patrick Bishop I needed. Here's one for you, not going to like me, but we need a Joe Biden. What? You can't say that. That's not, no. We need each other. You say, what do I need a Joe Biden for? Where is that in the scripture? Some of you need a Joe Biden to learn how to pray for your enemies. Some of you need a Joe Biden so that you just learn how to pray for someone that believes different than you. You might have a very strong opinion, but the last I looked, when I looked at his family, because I looked it up, he does have a family, and they all need Christ. And he is the person that is in charge of us, and I need a Joe Biden to learn some lessons in my life so I can be more like Christ. I don't agree with them, just like you. I see it. I feel it. But we need each other. And I need him to learn these lessons so I can be more like Christ. We need the kids that run around the hallways and throw their candy wrappers on the ground. Oh, man, that gets me. And that gets everybody that cleans the floors. But I remember the very day I learned that lesson where I gave a bunch of candy out. The kids went out. Threw all the candy wrappers on the ground. I was standing there picking up all the candy wrappers. And then God knocked on my heart and was like, hey, the reason there's candy wrappers on the ground is because you have kids in your church. I could take the kids out of the church and you'd have nice, clean floors all the time. There goes a youth pastor job. And keep the kids, keep the candy, let's go. Got it, God. And I needed the kids. I need the kids. We need each other. We need each other. We need our choir to encourage us when they sing. We need each other. We need husbands. You need your wife. Wife, you need your husband. You know, I admire this couple in the Bible, and you do not have to agree with me on this. I admire Adam and Eve and their marriage. I know that's so weird, right? It is so abstract. I admire Adam and Eve and their marriage. I think they have an absolutely unbelievable, beautiful love story. And let me explain it. Adam made first. He named all the animals, said, okay, said, God said, here's a helpmeet for you, Eve. Oh, yay, there's a first marriage. shared a rib, boom, it was all good. All of a sudden, Adam and Eve in the garden together, beautiful marriage, beautiful. Eve, it says, was tempted, and she took the fruit, she ate it, and then there was just a small portion of time where Eve, it says Eve gave the fruit to Adam. At that very time, and you don't have to agree with me on this, Adam was not deceived, I don't believe. The scripture kind of makes that clear. That means this. Adam had a decision to make. This is why I love this story. Now, you don't have to agree with me. Adam had a decision. Let's just call it an apple. The apple's in his hand. To bite it or not. He looked and saw his beautiful wife Eve, and he knew something wasn't right because there was already disobedience. Adam was not in sin. She was. But this is what I think is unbelievable. I use this in my marriage every time I can. Adam had the fruit, had the wife. Saw the fruit, saw the wife. The wife was in total need at this point, meaning totally sinful. Adam was not. Adam could have went to God and said, God, what did you give me? What did you make here for me? And could have said, make me something better. He says, oh, yeah, I didn't make a Dalmatian dog yet, did I? So that is so bad, don't forgive me. And so this Eve, beautiful fruit, all of a sudden he made a choice, and he said, I, no matter how much sin, no matter how many problems Eve has, no matter what her situation is, I am jumping in with my whole heart, with my whole life, with my whole being, and we are together in this horrible situation together. Adam made a choice. He chose his wife. You say, that was the wrong choice. I agree with that. But I think it was absolutely beautiful on his behalf, saying, my wife is in need. She's in horrible distress. She's a mess. It would have been the first really, you could have said this would have been rules for divorce. The first one ever. Because she messed the whole world up. But Adam said, no, I choose Eve. Here we go, out of the garden. To me personally, it taught me this lesson. I needed an Adam and Eve. I needed to learn this. If my wife messes her whole life up, which she hasn't, if she messes her whole life up, I'm jumping in with her, helping her, gonna support her, get her through it. Somebody asked me a long time ago before I got married, they said, write down on a list whatever it would take for your wife to say, okay, this is divorce worthy. Write it on a list. And so I went through and I started thinking about everything. And I was going to write things down like, and there was one, one of them was funny. It was if she became a cannibal and ate my children. And I thought, no, not this divorce worthy. And I started thinking, and then they stopped me and they said, okay, stop. They said, if there's anything on your list, you're not ready for marriage. And I learned a lesson that day from that person. I needed that person. Adam and Eve taught me that lesson too. Eve said, Adam's like, there's nothing you can do that we will separate. God has joined us together, let no man put us apart. I'm not trying to meddle, and I'm not trying to say, but I learned a lesson. I needed Adam, I needed Eve that day. And that's a hard lesson to learn. Our community needs us. Our community needs us. They need First Baptist Church. They need people. They need you. Our community needs us. And they need us here. They need to see. They need to learn. They need to watch us. But they need us. The Bible has so many people in it. It has so many stories in it that we can learn from. We can grow. We can be like Christ. We need our pastor. We need him to lead us and to guide us. You know, in the Bible, there was a preacher where he was just, God said one thing and he always wanted to do the other. You know who he is. He got swallowed by a whale. And I always wonder, God, why did you use him? It doesn't make any sense to me. Why would you use him? You even had a whale swallow him up. And I don't get it. He was angry. He was mad. And he was doing your work. And God, you still used him that way. You say, what can that possibly? Do you know what I learned about that? That a lot of times preachers are human and have flaws, but God can still use them. But it taught me that I needed that. I need the preacher got swallowed by a whale. We need each other. And we need to learn from each other so that we can grow and so that we can be more like Christ. Now, if we just use each other to grow, it's humanism, it's wrong. But if we need each other so that we can learn and grow to be more like Christ, then we have finally said, okay, God, you are truly our ultimate goal. We are unified in Christ. We want to learn from each other. And God put an entire book together with many, many people's names in it so that we can learn from them. We need each other. Somebody needs you. Someone needs you in your family. Yeah, someone needs you. I didn't know that I needed a new little girl. I didn't know that. But obviously God thinks I do. And so now I have a new little baby girl in my home. I absolutely love it. I don't know what I'm going to learn from it yet. I'm either going to be tortured or going to love it. I don't know. But I have a baby girl. I don't know what I need to learn, but I need her. I need my wife. I need my children. I can learn from each and every one of them so that I can be more like Christ. We need each other. There's one thing in here is that when we have a family of God like we do right here, all of us, we need each other. There ought not be a whole lot of bickering and complaining. Now, I'm okay with a certain amount of criticism. I'm okay with it. There was a gentleman years ago where we did not always totally agree in the church on things, and I voiced my opinion to him, and he voiced his opinion to me, and I voiced my opinion, and he voiced it back to me. And you know what? We disagreed on certain things, but something about it happened. Because we were both in unity with Christ, you would think our bickering would have just driven a hard, but something happened to us where we grew very, very close together. Because we both had the same person, God, the same principle of learning, and it grew us together. He balanced me out. I needed him. I don't want to say his name because you might run into him one day in your life, but I needed him. We didn't agree all the time, but I needed him in my life to teach me a lesson so that I could learn to be more like Christ. I needed that man. He was a deacon in a church, and I needed him. Oh, now I absolutely love that gentleman. And we can still go back and forth, and we can disagree on certain things, and he'll say it, and I'll say it. And man, but I needed him to grow in Christ. Now that I look at it, I would never change that. There was an older gentleman in our church years and years ago where I absolutely needed him as a teenager. Now, he was much older than I. He was about 70s, and I was a teenage boy, 16. I had my own car, drove around, and one day I went to his house. We started talking, and he helped me. He kind of mentored me up, and boy, did I need him. He taught me so much. What his family taught me, this elderly couple, their name was Van Cleeks. I've talked about them before, but Mr. and Mrs. Van Cleek. When I went to their house, one day I was there, and the roofer was there fixing the roof. They're like, he's fixing the roof. Da, da, da. The next thing I know, I was at church on Sunday, and the roofer was at the church with him. And I was like, isn't that your roofer? Like, yeah. He came down, and we shared the gospel with him, and he got saved in our living room. So we invited him to church. The next Sunday, the Ruffer's family came to church. And I was like, isn't that the Ruffer's family? They're like, yeah. He got saved, brought his family to church. I was like, that's amazing. That's so cool. A little bit later, all of a sudden, I think it was their air conditioning guy. They hired an air conditioning guy, and he was at the church. And I'm like, what is he at the church? He came. We witnessed to him at our house. He accepted Christ. We invited him to church. I was like, what? And so then I started looking around the church. And I'm like, wait a minute. That's the Van Cleek's neighbor. That's their neighbor. That's the roofer. And that's their air conditioning guy. And that's their relative. And they invited them. And they've been bringing that person to church for years. I needed the Van Cleeks to learn this lesson on witnessing. I needed them. I needed to learn that witnessing is just not door to door, but witnessing was their lifestyle and what they did every single day with Jesus Christ and how they would take them and they'd give Jesus Christ to everyone they met. They went to buy a new car and they stopped and talking to the dealer about Jesus Christ. The dealer shows up at our church and I'm like, is that where you bought your car from? Yeah, he got saved. How? Well, we're going to buy this car, and we just went. I needed the Van Cleeks to learn that lesson. I needed them. We need each other. What are you learning from those around you so that you can be more like Christ? I wrote down just a couple things, and I see it's time to go, but the Bible has so many people. we need to learn from, we need to grow to be more like Christ. But some show us bad and evil so that we can learn not to do something, or the opposite. Some show us the good, the kindness, the love, the faith. Some show us Christ. But we need people. I know this isn't a normal lesson to teach, but I'll tell you this, it will encourage your heart if you would take a moment sometime this week and start scribbling down your people. The people that influenced you. The people that you watched their life and it started to help you understand the truths of God to change your life. You say, how do we need people? Yeah, so what do we do with the bottom half of that chapter talks about a very important part, about walking in the Spirit of God. When we walk in the Spirit of God, we won't fulfill the lusts of the flesh. That means when you see someone and they're doing evil, it doesn't draw you to the evil, but it shines through. When you're walking in the Spirit of God, it shines the truth of God at you so you learn the truth instead of the evil. Walking with God does that to you. That's why the Van Cleeks learned that witnessing was an everyday, all the time, whoever they came across thing. I needed to learn that from the Van Cleeks. I needed to learn all these different principles from, you know, these people in the Bible. King David. I didn't learn how to sin from King David. But when you walk in the Spirit of God, he opens your life up to learn the truth of God, which it changes your life. And then you need people. You need people in your life. Who do you need? Who's around you today that you need? Who's around you right now that they need you? You might be the Van Cleek, sorry, older people in the church. Some younger person needs you. They just don't know it yet. Go tell them they need you. Show them some love. Show them some kindness. Some of you deacons in here, somebody needs you. They really do. I love getting texts from some of these men on the prayer group. I love it. When we went through hard times, we needed our church family. Back in the day, just to end it, 2 minutes left, we lost a baby named David. And when baby David died, we needed our church family. I learned so much from my church family. I didn't know I needed them so bad. And I learned that through the prayers of my church family, I felt God just lift us up and carrying us along. I absolutely needed them during that time. Some of you, you send prayers along to us, and it's just like, and I know this is the wrong way to say it, but it's like we feel it. In the Spirit of God, we feel it. We feel that God is just sending his love to us and his mercies and his kindness to us through your prayers and through your kind hearts. But we need each other. Let's make sure in unity we bind together in Christ. Look who's around you and understand that God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Even the ones that we disagree with, we need them. And by the way, we need them in our family of God. We need them in the family of God. We need Joe Biden in the family of God. We need all these other people in the family of God that we disagree with. We need them. We need them. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time. Thank you for this truth. And God, you are a great God. You know people better than anyone. And God, through it all, I pray that we would just take a moment and write down our people. People that we have learned a truth from you, and we can go forward and glorify you even better because of it. And Father, we love you, and we love the truths that you present to us. And even today, I pray that we would see people and the need that we need each other. And God, give us that desire for the lost. Give us the desire to see our brothers and sisters grow in you. And Father, just bless us as we enter into this Easter time, the resurrection of you, Jesus. We give you all the honor, all the praise in your name. Amen. All right. Thank you all so much. Let's stand and...